Sermon title today is Living Life to Live. And you've heard my witness before, and I've shared it many times. Before we built this church, which this church is only this, we are in our fourth year of ministry at this location. But before we built this church, we were in the old Masonic Lodge. Remember all those special days we had over there? So the ministry has been going on for a little over 10 years now. And I told the Lord at the time, you know, I said, Lord, why did you do this? Why are you doing this now? Why didn't you do this work when I was younger and I had lots of energy? I could just go 24/7. And the Lord told me through the Spirit, He says, your best years of ministry are ahead of you. And I think that I've repeated that several times. And you know what? I think that we would have to believe that, yes, that is very definitely the truth. The Lord has proved that over and over and over to Carol and I that our best years in ministry are ahead of us. Ever since that time, I've been promoting to this church over and over that no matter what age that you are at, whether you're 8 or whether you're 80, your best years in Jesus Christ are ahead of you. And you need to believe that. You need to walk in that truth that my best years in Jesus Christ are ahead of me. They're not behind me. As children of God, there is always a better, a fuller, and a richer time to come and a richer time to look forward to. So I've been saying this over and over, and the question is, can I prove it through the Scripture? And I most certainly say that, yes, I believe that I can prove it through the Scripture. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. This morning. Philippians chapter 1. What's that? What is the title of my sermon? Are you living life to live? Living life to live. That's all right. Thanks for asking, April. What was my sermon last week, everybody? You don't remember. That's okay, because I don't even usually remember what I preached either. So in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me read that again. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul's life was centered on Jesus Christ, not on the world, not on self, but on Jesus. People say, "Yes, but I'm not a minister." And I'm certainly not the Apostle Paul. Saints, it does not matter who you are, what position that you do have or don't have in the church. Jesus Christ, it needs to be the center of your life. You get that? He needs to be the center of your life, not on the outskirts of your life. Jesus Christ is not supposed to be a byproduct of your life, but at the core of your life. At the core of your marriage, at the core of your family. To be successful in life, Christ must be one at the center of your life. I want to say that again. For you to be successful in life, Christ must be at the core or at the center of your life. Too many people are saying, this is an example, "I'm a farmer and oh, by the way, I go to church." Or I work at a manufacturing plant, and by the way, I also go to church. You fill in the blanks where you are at. We should be saying, my life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of the Most High God, and this is what I do to pay my bills. But first and foremost is my life in Jesus. He's not an afterthought. And in too many Christians' lives, he is an afterthought. I go about all my business. I go about all my things. I do all these different activities in my life. And oh, by the way, I am a Christian. And if I have time on Sunday, I might slip into the church. Paul is saying my best years are ahead of me here in verse 21. In verse 21, "For to me is to live is Christ." If I'm living, Christ is at the center of it. Everything that I'm doing in my life, He is at the center. And to die is nothing but to gain. We go on to verse 22. "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul knew his ministry would be fruitful if he remained. But for himself, he was looking forward to being with Jesus full time. Too many Christians are looking in the rearview mirror of their lives rather than looking forward. Are you living your life forward, or are you living your life backwards? Are you looking back on the past? Well, I used to do that. It's like the person that used to be in high school, and all they want to talk about is when they were in high school and when they played football and when they played basketball, but I can't do those things anymore. And they're still looking back when Christ wants you to live your life forward, because your best years in the Lord Jesus Christ are ahead of you. They're not behind you. Pastor Leo's going to be 70 years old this year. Can you believe it? I can't even believe it. I look in the mirror and it tells me I'm 70 years old, but I still feel like I'm 35 years old. But the Lord is telling me today, and the Lord is telling you today, your best years in the Lord Jesus Christ are ahead of you. They're not behind you. Start living for Jesus full time instead of part time. If you're then, you are letting Satan rob you if you're looking in the rearview mirror all the time of what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ and what you will have. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 24, it goes on to say, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful to you as a congregation. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy and faith. And your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, that you have one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not any way terrified by your adversaries, which to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. No matter the adversity Paul faced, his life was constantly living forward. Boy, there's a lot of people that need to hear this message, isn't there? Because there's a lot of people that stuck. And because they are so stuck, they're not living their life forward. They're not even hardly living their life in the past, but they're stuck somewhere in there in between, and they're not moving forward. And the Lord Jesus doesn't want them to do that. They are not in the will of God. Pastor Leo, I mean, you know what Carol and I have gone through. Can I just say, well, you know, it's just too hard. I'm just going to quit. Let me tell you, I'm going to be 70 years old. I'm more excited about Jesus today than when I got saved. I was fired up about Jesus, what he has done in my life, what he's doing in your life, what he's doing in all of our lives, now than I ever have been before. Why? It's because Jesus Christ is growing in my life, because my life is centered on him and I don't care about anything else. Money is not success. Things is not success. Success in life, in this life that we live today, is found only in Jesus and nothing else. Don't let Satan deceive you. Because so many are still deceived. Yeah, but. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, I don't have very many scriptures today. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Romans 8 and verse 13. In verse 13 of Romans 8, he says this, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, and I will add the daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In the Old King James Version, in verse 18, it says, I reckon. So you look at verse 18 again. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In the Old King James Version, it says, I reckon. I reckon is an accounting term. Do the accounting. Weigh it up. Measure it out. Is your life better today since you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior than it was before? Then stop holding back and start living it out of your life. Let me ask you today, saints, are you living life to live or are you living life to die? Are you living life to live or are you living life to die? Well, we're going to go back to the scripture that we referred to last week, and we're going to look at somebody that was living life to die. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We looked at this last week. We're going to go right back to it. Luke chapter 12. In verse 16, you wouldn't think that so many people live their life to die, but there are many people out there today. That's just exactly what they're doing. They're living life to die. In chapter 12, verse 16, it says, Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then of whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. So we remember this guy from last week. We talked about this individual that lived for the here and now. That's what we talked about last week. In last week's question, are you living for the here and now, or are you living for the now and later in your life with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now for Christ today and for later to rejoice in heaven. This individual was living to die. Look at verse 19. In verse 19 says, And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Listen to what he's saying. My good years are gone. I've got all this stuff now. I don't have much longer to live. So you know what? I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry until I leave. He was living to die. Because that's what he was looking forward to. Think about it. What all we do for retirement? Everybody needs a retirement. I encourage you to have a retirement. I encourage you to have money set aside for a rainy day. All those things that we need to have in place. I know those things are important. But I'm not living for that. I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm never going to back down. I'm never going to sit down. And I'm never going to take a step back. And everybody needs to have that kind of attitude in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people have told me over the years, Oh, well, I used to teach Sunday school. Well, I used to do children's church. Well, I used to do VBS. And now I'm older. I just need to take a step back. You know what? We need to stop sitting down. And we need to start standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not make any difference if you're 60, 80, or 90. If we have something that we can lay out for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be doing that in our lives today because I'm living my life forward. Amen. And we all need to be doing that. This man, I'm telling you, was living to die. Saints, the Lord has given you this life to live for the Lord Jesus. You're not going to have another one, are you? This is it. What you've got laid out. You have been born for such a time as this. You're not what you heard me say over and over. You're not born by accident. You're born with a plan and a purpose for your life. And are you living that plan? Are you living that purpose? Because you're born for such a time as this. I can tell you that 35 years ago, Pastor Carol had it birthed in her heart that she would like to see a school, a Christian school, started. And she lived that. She prayed for that. And she sought that. Why was she put on this earth? She was put on this earth so we would have this school right here. Yes. He's done the same thing in so many lives. These teachers, when the council met with the teachers that are going to be teaching, this is a ministry that they're involved in. We're just not teaching kids reading, writing, and arithmetic, no matter how important that is, but we're going to teach them how important their life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're going to have fulfillment, you find fulfillment in Jesus. If you're going to have joy in life, you're going to find joy in Jesus. If you're going to have peace in your life, it can only be found through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so many times, and I know that this is a different sermon, and I won't get on a rant on you, I promise, but people will go to a psychologist to help them fulfill the needs of their life that their soul needs. We're supposed to love God with all our strength, all of our mind, everything that's within our heart, and including our soul. The part that makes you, the part that makes you unique. If I need help, I need to seek the Lord, don't I? I need to seek His guidance because He will bring that peace and that joy and that fulfillment in my life that I'm lacking. People out there, there's people out there, and you've got sons and you've got daughters and you've got family members today. They can almost say that they hate you for what you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you straight up, right up, right now, that they are not happy in life, and you know the answer. Even though they don't want to receive it, Jesus is the answer for this life. It's not 3 a.m., it's not being a farmer, it's not being anything else. The Lord Jesus brings fulfillment in our life, and only through Jesus can we attain it. Amen. The Lord has given you this life. This church is living for life. So what does that mean, living to life? Living for life. Today, tomorrow, and the next, my life is going to be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop looking in the rearview mirror of what I was or what I could have been, and this is a time that the Lord has given me. I'm going to use it for His glory, and I know the best is yet to come. Now that is living life to live. Amen. To remember the old days we didn't have. You remember when we used to have family dinners that sometimes we don't have anymore? I know the Morgans had a reunion yesterday. You don't hear a lot of reunions anymore. But when we gather together for family dinners, and you've heard this being shared before, because we didn't have a salad fork and a dinner fork, and we didn't have a dessert fork, we had one fork. So after the dinner, the ladies would say, they'd come in, I'm sorry, it was usually the ladies that were coming in and got the empty place, and they would say, keep your fork. Keep your fork. Why were they telling you to keep your fork? Because the best was yet to come, and that was dessert. The best was yet to come. Saints, keep your forks. Keep your forks. The best is yet to come in your life. This church is not going to back up. It's not going to step back. It's not going to give up, and it's not going to give in. We have only one life to live, and we're going to live it out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, I would rather die serving Jesus than rust out. And there's too many Christians rusting out. May I burn out? If it was burn out for Jesus, it'd be the right thing to do if it was only for Jesus. Ministers burn out. They get tired and they get weary and they get wore out. And I know that many in this church has been worried about me because they say, well, you know, the old guy is getting, he's not getting any younger. He's not getting any younger. And we're starting a school and the church is growing. We're building on. We got all this. Let me tell you, God has got this. And when God wants to provide help for Carol and I, He's going to provide the right person at the right time, and it's going to be all in God's hands, and we're going to just keep forging forward until the Lord provides that person. But He will do it in His timing, and I give Him all the glory and give Him all the praise. Are you willing, ready to give it up for Jesus? Have you made that commitment in your life? I'm going to give it up. I'm going to lay it down. I know the best years that I have before me are in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there may be someone here that has not made that commitment in their life. Maybe there's people that are saved that haven't made that commitment. But Father, we need to lay it all down. We need to give it over to you and say, my life is totally and wholly focused on my relationship with you. And Father, I pray that you would lead us all to that. Brother and sister, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to love your wife or you want to love your husband better than you've ever loved them before and be more in love with them tomorrow than you've ever loved them in your whole entire life, I don't care how long you've been married, then put Jesus at the center of your life, because he will teach you, he will coach you, he will equip you to love your wife, your husband, your children as you should. And maybe there's one here today that has never accepted Jesus. We want to give them that chance today. If you have not ever made that commitment to accept Jesus as Lord, your Lord and Savior, or maybe you don't, you say, I don't know, but you'd like for me to pray with you, I'd just like for you to slip up your hand. I'd like to pray with you today. Would there be one here today? Anybody? How many of us would like to renew our faith today? Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. How many of you say, I want to renew my faith in Jesus today? I just want you to slip up your hand. We're going to pray for you right where you're at. Amen for those hands. Anybody else today? Well, I want as much as I can get from Jesus, don't you? I want as much as there is possible. Amen for those hands. Anybody else? Just slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to have anybody. I'm not going to embarrass you anyway. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, by your Spirit, you would sweep over this place as only you can do, and that you would touch every heart and every life. For those that want to renew their faith with you, Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus that you would minister to that need right now by the power of your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that renewing power that you give to each and every one of us, that we can be renewed daily by your word and by your Spirit as we grow in grace and truth today. Father, bless them for their faithfulness in raising their hand. And Lord, I know that you saw them before they ever lifted their hand, and I pray that you would minister to that need today. Father, we thank you for that, and we pray that, Lord, as we come together as a family today, to share communion with one another, that you would bless our time together. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.